Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is part two of a discussion about leadership. I'm joined by Tanya Moore and Jamie Lang, and so far, none of us are in charge. So, Jamie, I think you're a little bit like me. We are sort of brothers from another mother. I'm very, very comfortable. Like, I like a strong woman. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't care what that says about me. Not in a kind of weak, like, gimp mask, kinky way. I just need a woman in my life keeping me in line and organising my shit and telling me when... For example, Lindsay got with me and she said she's the only person who had the courage to say, stop wearing eyeliner, stop doing this, you look like a dick. You're probably losing work.
Come on, Lindsay.
And she sorted me out. Don't do that, don't do this. These are the fucking rules. Don't mess with them. And she often says to me, I'm like, I'm going to do this on my social media, or I'm going to say yes to this TV programme. My manager doesn't want to do it. And she goes, would Michael McIntyre do it? I'm like, no. She goes, oh, there's your fucking answer then.
Come on, Lindsay! Why
are you doing it? You're doing it because you want to show off and you want attention. Is that going to pay the bills? No, boom. And that's me. That's it. A small correction.
Yeah, but I think Roger, the same as me. I'm so happy being in that role. And also, I think that you need a strong woman in your life to sort of be the way we are. But also, I think it's because you're probably the same as me that we look for reassurance so much, right? Mm. And so we look for reassurance of whatever we do. And when you look for reassurance in everything you do, it comes from your partner. And that automatically almost makes you a bit more vulnerable because you realize how actually insecure we are. And so therefore, someone has to take the trousers, because if you were both that vulnerable with each other, then it wouldn't really work.
Do you think?
I think so.
Yes. Those relationships become toxic. I've seen them. You know, I hate myself too.
If you're both positively reassuring.
Well, that's different. But you have to feel good in yourself to positively reassure. And you're not going to believe the reassurance coming off someone who doesn't believe in himself. And you sort of get into that. Now, we've all got friends where they're in that sort of negative, depressive spiral. They should never have got together. Do you think there's, very controversial what I'm going to say here, Tanya, that it could be genetic? So if we start with animals, for example, I'm big into my cats and dogs. Within a few days of cats being born, clearly genetically, regardless of the size of that kitten, there are leaders and there are followers. Every species on the planet, definitely in primates, which we are, I know it's uncomfortable to admit, we are fucking animals, we are apes, we are so close to apes, it's ridiculous. And it's not controversial to say that some genetically carry that leadership role. I'm wondering whether some of us just aren't cut out, literally, and are not manufactured to lead. I'm an awful leader. When I'm in charge, I either turn into Mariah Carey and just want doves and speak to everyone like shit, or I fall apart and can't organise. But if Jamie is in charge, go, Russell, it's really creative and funny. Give me some funny biscuit ideas you've got to. And I'd be like, yes, mate, I'd be the best asset on your team. Put me in charge of McVitie's Essex and you're fucked.
By the way, just on Mariah Carey, apparently Mariah Carey always wants black loo paper.
Really?
Apparently always wants it.
Why would
always.
You want loo paper where you cannot tell whether the job is complete?
I know.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
It's so strange. Is that for real?
Apparently, that's like farting with a peg on your nose. It's dangerous behaviour.
You've got to keep wiping to see.
Exactly. Thank you, Jamie. Scintilla. But do you agree that some of us, we've all got traits? You could see it, like my daughter now, she's 5, and you can see already at school the extroverts, the introverts, the leaders, the followers.
Really? So, can you see that already?
You can see it so early.
My nephew's 3. You can see it in nursery. You can see the kids who are like, oh, I want to come and give you a hug and I want to look after you. And then you can see the kids who sit down and just cry, wait to be looked after. You can see it real early.
They did a test where they basically want to understand what creates alpha males, right? So that's the alpha person, right? Not even alpha males, just alpha people. And so what they did is they, typically what happens in a room is you get someone who's the alpha male, someone who's the joker, someone who's the right-hand man, and people fall into these roles automatically.
Yeah.
And so they went around, they put them all, they got all these groups together and saw who were the alpha people in the groups. And so then what they did is they got all of the alpha people and put them in a group together to see what would happen. And what happened was is the same thing. One person became the alpha, one became the joker. Everyone
no
fell
way.
Into place again. Yeah, yeah.
Where's that, Jamie? Is that a study
I
or something?
I can't remember. It's a study. It's a really interesting study.
We'll try and find that out for the text underneath the podcast because that sounds absolutely fantastic.
It's fascinating. And it's a point that it doesn't matter where you go in life, there will always be someone who's a leader. And you will fall typically into the role that you find yourself in. And sometimes you may become a leader, but actually... It just changes throughout the whole time. But yeah, that's always, if you put two alphas.
I've never seen that, but I have a similar outlook when we go on stage, Russell. There's always going to be one person who's an arsehole. There's always going to be one person who's really loud laughing.
Wait a minute, it was only us two in the show last night.
No, oh,
in the audience. Oh, in the audience. Oh, thank God I panicked then. I panicked. So I was like, oh my God, was I the arsehole? No, but isn't it interesting what Jamie says? Now, we're going to go off topic here slightly, but I must, in that sort of you walk into the room and it presents who the leader is, because as funny people, as all three of us are, sometimes you walk into the room and you think, oh my God, I'm not the joker in this group. And as someone, I'm obviously, that's the role I'm most comfortable in, is joking. Now, you can, in my opinion, Jay, form joker alliances and go into like naughty corner and be nudging each other. That happened with me and Jaya McNally the other week. We decided we were the jokers and were sort of disrupting a meeting, and we took that role together. So I think you can form joker alliances.
That's amazing.
But that sinking
happens,
panic as you feel yourself becoming more serious and go, oh my God, I'm not... Which role am I, Jiffy? Not the leader.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Why do we have that, though? It's so true.
That's crazy.
And for me, for so long, because I would say typically I'm the one who becomes the joker. And then what happened was I played that role so much. And so then every single time I went into a room, I played this role the entire time. But then you meet people that it doesn't quite work. And that, for ages... made me so self-conscious because I was telling like, wait, hang on a second, I'm not always good, but it's okay to not always be. Yeah. But when you make alliances, that's amazing. If you can do that.
That is a good way to end this bit. Look for alliances rather than conflicts and trying to fit into a role. Okay, so I think we've established that anyone can wear the trousers. It might be genetic. It might depend, Tanya has argued, who you're with. That might bring out different traits in you. And we've all had experiences of being the less dominant and more dominant partner. Fair enough. I think it changes slightly when we talk about dating, i.e. the initial parts of a relationship, because sadly, at time of recording, late summer 2021, men are still expected to take the lead. If me and Jamie were sat single in the bar, almost inconceivable as an idea, as we know we'd be covered in giel within minutes, but just for an experiment, let's say we are... sat there in the bar with no female attention. I know it stretches the imagination.
That is mad to think
about. And we look across and there's at the table with two girls and they're sort of doing the laughing, the signalling. It would still be expected, and I'm disgusted to say this, that we would walk across. It would be more normal, it would be more usual for us to take that lead. Once we got there, it would probably be more expected that we would buy the first drink. Once we bought the first drink, it would probably be expected that one of the boys would say, hey, we're coming, do you want to come back to ours for an extra drink? And so on and so on, until you find yourself, whenever that first sexual encounter takes place with someone, even if it's someone you end up falling in love with, that you have made that first move and that first kiss. Now, I know I'm making massive generalizations and loads of girls lean in for the first kiss and loads of girls make the first move. I'm not saying that, ladies. I'm just saying the general trend is men. Till we end up in a position, ladies, where I suppose women are less confident to say what they want in the bedroom because the whole process has been first step man, first step man, first step man. So we end up with sexually frustrated females and egotistical lover men. What the fuck is going on there?
I think that's definitely what we would say. I would say for our age group going backwards, that's definitely what it was. But I find these young girls now are just coming out the box and they're just being a little bit different with it. I, on the other hand, I think for me, how I operate is if I ask you out on a date, then it's for me to take care of the bill because I've interrupted your day. However, if you ask me out on a date, then it's for you to take care of the bill because You've interrupted my day. If you didn't tell me to come out of my house, I'd be at home not spending money.
You've just cleared up, because we've had this debate countless times about who pays the bill. This, yeah. This is an excellent etiquette rule for people. The asker outer pays the bill.
Pays the bill.
Boom, solved forever.
That's a great thing.
Then that it's not sexist. It's just a logistical fact.
It's just, yeah.
But tell me, would you, okay, hang on. If you were asked on a date and the guy said, I want to pay the bill at the end, would you be offended or would you like it?
No, it's not that I like it, but if he asks me out...
Say you asked him out and he refused to let you pay the bill.
Yeah.
No, I've had men like that and I don't mind that, because you can pay the dinner bill, but then I'll force us to go for drinks and I'll get rounds there. There's ways around it.
Because it could be seen as a power move, couldn't it? It could be seen as a leadership move. It's like, I'm...
But some men, like, culturally, that's a thing for them, and it really messes with them inside if they don't pay for the bill. And I'm not trying to, like, give you mental health problems.
No.
Like, if you want to pay the bill, sir, but I'll always find a way around it. I don't think we should be upset if men really want to pay the bill. Sometimes people have their own... what's the word? Their own things to live up to. They have their own things
blueprint.
Inside.
They have their own blueprint, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's got nothing to do with you. And with men, 9 times out of 10, it's got nothing to do with you, ladies. It's definitely about how they're feeling inside. So I've had that. I've had that scenario where men are like, you know, no, I have to pay the bill. Please, I have to. And I'm like, well, go ahead, pay the bill then.
But also, okay, this could be really rogue, but is it? So psychologically speaking... men like pretty things. That they're like magpies, right? They like pretty things. And women, what they actually like is a sense of security. So they like a man who is going to be a good father, provide, you know, all these different things, right? And that's the difference between the two. So when men go on a date with a woman, I would suggest that most men, when they ask someone on a date, they're looking to get laid at the end of the night, right? That's what they want to do.
I've never gone on a date hoping I don't get laid.
Never.
I've never gone, I really want to take this girl for pizza. I hope she doesn't try and fuck me at the end, because it would really spoil the atmosphere.
Oh God, I'm going to make her wait for the third date. I mean, that has never ever crossed
so
my mind.
It was so at the end, because she said she just wanted to suck me off and I just felt so objective.
So is it where
I'm not laughing at this.
it's true, right? And so is it where when women go on a date, I would assume they're more sort of analysing the individual. Okay, is he a good guy? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? You know, that's sort of when you go on a date with someone, men are just going, shit, am I going to get laid tonight? And so is it more where it's like, okay, I'm trying to... Not saying it's a transactional thing, but it's... Yeah. Russell, help me out here. I know what I'm trying to say.
Babes, matter how you say it, it's going to sound...
Men are childishly goal-oriented. Men are childishly goal-oriented, like a toddler reaching for a piece of fruit. Yeah, and that's the way men remain till they die.
And so men have that thing. So men will just go, okay, so but if I pay for this, therefore my outcome is less bad because actually I've provided for something. So that,
I think it's close to heart what we're talking about. It's a leadership, patriarchal ownership of the situation type thing. It's a power move.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But what do you think about the other thing I said, Tanya, that because there's lots of lads listen to this, and the era we find ourselves in, and you get slated for saying this, but I don't apologize for trying to provide clarification when we talk about consent and when to make the first move. I don't think we can talk about it too much. So don't get offended that I'm discussing consent. Be glad that I'm discussing it, because it's not fucking spoken about, frankly, enough. Great. You've got some younger men coming through now. They might be 22, 23. A lot of young men listen to this. They might be scared to lean in for that first kiss, right? For loads of reasons, not consent-based, but humiliating themselves, or not sure if the girl likes them, or are we in an era of feminism where you need to wait for more signals from the girl first? And this situation is a mess, yet we still find ourselves in a situation where the bloke's supposed to start snogging first. What the fuck's going on, Tanya? Should, if you've been out on a girl and you think she likes you, should you just lean in for a snog? Tell us what to do.
I say yes! I mean, I'm sure there's lots of feminists in the world right now that are going to find me and follow me and start riots. But I say yes. I think, but it goes both ways. Like, if you're in a moment and you feel it's right to give a lean in, man or woman, lean the fuck in, bruv.
Yeah.
Why would you not?
If it's a slow lean with a slow mouth opening, like an eye closed, I'm demonstrating it now, listener. I mean, there's plenty of time for any confusion to be avoided from the woman or man who's being lent into. There's plenty of time for a Hugh Grant.
And it doesn't make you a predator, a sexual predator, if you're on a date with somebody who you like and you're feeling some feels and you want to advance the situation. It doesn't. Now, if you lean in with a penis, might be a problem.
Obviously, yeah.
But if you lean in for a kiss...
If you're already in the house as well.
Especially if you're in a park. But if you lean in for a kiss because you're in a zone, that should be fine.
But Jamie, do you agree? I mean, still now, it's rare, isn't it? It's the girl that does that initial... move. And I find that depressing. If I want feminism to solve it, solve it, feminism. Solve that shit.
I've never had it. Russell, have you ever had it when you were single? That girl has leaned in to kiss you.
I've had a few confident women, Lindsay included, that have taken the initiative and like sent the first text message or like, come on, let's go out for a drink. I've experienced that a few times. I don't know if that's because of what I do for a living, because I had no female attention at all, followed by too much. I never had an in-between period. It's like wanking Dungeons and Dragons playing Virgin Nerd, followed by Shabba Ranks with nothing in between. It was like the United Nations of girl.
Not Shabba Ranks.
It's not just the literal Mr. Loverman. But I've never had the first lean in. You can't get much more forthright than my wife, Lindsay. So Lindsay, she was in the front row of my gig. I sent a stalky text message, basically, to anyone know the front girl of the gig? She replied, follow, and we started DMing. After two DMs, she fucking phones for a manual phone call. Who does that?
Come on, Lindsay!
She's like, this is ridiculous. I'm not doing this. We're not teenagers. Let's go out. Boom. So all the signs were there. This is a woman of a different class of leadership.
Come on.
That's amazing. I love that.
But once we're on the date, the normal rules applied. I will never forget it. We'd been out for a nice meal. It'd gone on for hours and hours of talking, like a North Korea, South Korea standoff. No one wants to do the first lean-in. It's clearly on. And we've met at 7 p.m. It's probably about 11 p.m. now, talking, looking into each other's eyes, signal. No, if I had not done it, we'd have gone home with no snog. I still had to do the lean-in and snog. That depresses me.
Well, do you know what? I feel like, yes, she'd done all the work up until that point.
But what I mean is that is the trend overall still.
Yeah.
Why can't we live in a world where it's 50-50? So, and because what I'm saying is the consequence of that, ladies, is first kiss probably follows by the first sexual move, probably follows by men in the bedroom being more forthright with their needs and desires and the kinks and what turns them on. And before you know it, we're still in 2021, got a load of women that aren't blowing their biscuits in the bedroom and aren't stating what their sexual needs are and preferences, right? Yeah. That's the end result of a leadership in the bedroom by men. That's where we find us.
I'll be honest with you, I just thought about a lean in and thought about taking it first, and I just thought there was a shudder at the rejection.
That's the problem.
This is where we are. No.
And this is where we come to the crux of what we're talking about. The leader takes the risk.
How long did it take you, Russell, to turn the lights on to have sex with your wife? Took me ages.
What, for it to get permission from her?
To have sex with the lights on?
Yeah.
I have always demand, even if it's the initial session, of which there were quite a few when I was single, I demand a low-level lamp. To me, sex in the dark is completely pointless. What is the point of sex in the dark?
I agree.
How am I going to have a memory wank tomorrow if I've not seen anything? I'm not that. I'm sorry. If that's what it boils down to.
It's so true.
What am I going to do?
No matter how many times I talk to this guy, I always get on the train. No, and the train ends up somewhere else.
No, but it's. I don't know whether women are the same. But men are very visual. So if I'm having a sexual experience with a woman who I'm incredibly attracted to, I want to be able to. I like to remember it. That's not pervy. Is it? To remember someone. So what are you going to do? Remember that? Oh, the duvet. Oh, the tog was so amazing. I'm going to remember how it felt.
I hate it so much.
But there
not
is
the 1.5. Yeah.
But there is something now that I gave a talk at a school the other day, and quite weird. And I was talking to the guy, and he said there's now a forum that can people go on. Firstly, so if a guy asks a girl on a date and they say no, you're now not allowed to pursue them. If they say no, sorry, you can't pursue them. I would have been fucked.
Wait, you're not allowed to pursue.
Yeah.
You ask a girl out on a date and she says no.
She says no.
When you say pursue, you don't mean like physically chase with a mask on or something.
You
won't get away that easy.
You're not allowed to go and try again.
Start the ice cream van up, Spencer.
You may make
repeated inquiries. Well, that's the whole of romantic literature. That's Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet, for God's sake, Pride and Prejudice.
And then you take out the whole concept of courting, right? But you're not allowed to now.
So I think if you've done it once and then she says no, you're allowed, I'd say, a few more times. But if she's consecutively like, sir, no... Get the hint, sir.
If someone says to me, sir, you know you're in the wrong place. If they go, sir, no, you go, okay, this is not...
If they say, sir, Jamie says, it's okay then, back to the kitchens. It was worth a try. Do you know what, Jamie? I've just seen the time and I don't want to finish without talking about culture. I don't know what all of our cultural backgrounds... Well, we do know. I come from a working class, council estate, quite matriarchal environment. Jamie comes from a more well-to-do, very English environment. I don't know your cultural environment, Tanya, but I'm intrigued to learn, because there are definitely some cultures around the world. For example, my producer Raymond was telling me in Ghanaian culture that the men would definitely take more of a laid-back approach with the family. So that it would, even in a house where the man and woman is present, mum and dad are there, it's a matriarchal thing that goes down. Whereas my matriarchal experience is because the men aren't there. So it's a lot of mums.
Same.
Isn't it?
Same.
It's a lot of mums and nans and aunties.
Well, it's kind of similar for me, I guess. I'm Jamaican, so I'm first gen. And yeah, women take over in the household, definitely. And the men just get told what to do.
So even in houses where it's undivorced and the dad's present, it would still be a matriarchal structure.
1,000%.
It's interesting. And what about out in the shires, Langers?
I'm the same as you guys. I have my parents divorced, and so my mum was the one who, like, and I had older sisters and things like that, and so I was matriarchal because my mum and sisters were around. And that's what kind of happened. But culturally, I think in the UK, we still got this thing where we're old school, where we're not sort of...
But I mean, particularly sort of like in more elite British circles, I'm not trying to fuck about here, it's that sort of quiet, powerful male figure at the back. You see it all the way through history, the dad with his newspaper deciding who goes to what school, what builds. You know, he runs things from behind the Daily Telegraph. And I'm not sure that's gone anywhere.
No, it hasn't gone anywhere. I have friends of mine, and you know, my parents, my dad's a bit more kind of like liberal and things like that, but my stepfathers are like that. But I have lots of friends. I have friends who I remember at school. I went to boarding school at the age of 8, and when the dad used to turn up, they used to shake hands with the dad.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds like something from the 19th century.
It's wild scenes.
Isn't that crazy? And I remember a few people. Like, I would say I remember 6 people, 7 people maybe, and their dads turn up and they would shake hands with their dad.
I mean, that's the ultimate leadership. That's showing someone is the boss. Just what you do with your boss's hand, isn't it?
Yeah. And also there were things like, so my stepfather had it. He used to tell me that he would get dressed by the nanny, and then every single day he would go down in his pajamas and say goodnight to his parents and then be taken off to bed again. And that's what it was. And they wouldn't hug kiss, they would say goodnight. You immediately had a complete sort of hierarchy existence that your parents were not your equals. They were your, you know, your leaders.
But you can have that without having
the formality
that.
And the coldness. Yeah, because I'm guessing the Jamaican setup that from what I've seen, I watched a brilliant parenting program with Anita Rani where they were comparing different parenting styles. And from what I gather, African and Caribbean parents, they're definitely not your mates when you're hanging out at home. They're definitely your leaders, and there's definite hierarchy, but there's a warmth mixed with it. Whereas English parenting can have that coldness.
Like, for example, Russell, if I had the five-year-old with you, my five-year-old would call everybody over 16 auntie or uncle, because you just can't have a five-year-old rocking up. You just can't have them rocking up and being like, you're right, Russ, it's just not on. It's not on. It has to be auntie and uncle until they become of age.
Well, sadly, I am the leader of this show today, which means I have to say it's time up. Thank you very much for joining me, Jamie Lang and Tanya Moore, talking about leadership. What a fascinating chat it's been. Please do subscribe to Man Baggage if you happen to be here as fans of either of today's guests. Leave a review and own it. Own that review. Otherwise, you don't lead anything and you're a pussy old. Bye.
Thank God. Hey.
There we go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.